Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Jalles Machado's conference call to discuss the results of the second quarter of the crop year 2021-22. This conference is being recorded, and the audio will be available at the company's website at ri.jallesmachado.com. At the end of the presentation, all participants will be able to participate in the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should you need assistance during the call, please press star zero. The earnings release and the presentation on the second quarter of the crop year 2021-2022 can be accessed on the company's investor relations website. Before proceeding, I would like to mention that any statements that may be made during the conference call related to the company's business prospects, forecasts, operating and financial targets related to its growth potential are based on the company's management's expectations about the future of Jalles Machado. Such expectations are highly dependent on domestic and foreign market conditions, and also on national and international economic scenarios, and therefore are subject to change. Today with us are Mr. Otávio Lage de Siqueira Filho, CEO, and Mr. Rodrigo Penna, CFO and IRO. I would like now to turn the floor over to Mr. Lage. You may proceed, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to thank all the investors and partners who have believed in our IPO. I would also like to thank Fred and Rodrigo, who are in direct contact with all of our investors. I would like to convey to you the message that we just celebrated our 41st anniversary, and that is reason for celebration here in Brazil. Not many companies have the pleasure to survive for so many years. We are extremely happy about this. Of course, that happened because in the past we believed in sustainable fuels, and now we can see the great prospects for ethanol. We also have perspectives for the provision of fuels to electric cars. This is a viable alternative, a very interesting alternative that has been debated by a number of car manufacturers. It is a great pleasure to look back over the past 41 years and see that ethanol has remained a very interesting fuel. In our IPO, we made a number of commitments, and we are committed to all of them firmly. We are committed to the expansion of two plants, and that expansion is underway. We have some investments that have already been made, and we also have negotiations going on for the acquisition of a third plant. We are discussing a number of options, and I am certain that we are going to have some good news soon. We are also very happy about this year's crop. We have over 100 tons per hectare, and here at Jalles, we have already achieved 90 tons per hectare. I believe that we have another 140 tons per hectare until the end of the crop year with very good prices, so we are very happy about those results. In October, November, and December, we can see a higher rainfall than the historical levels, and that allows us to believe that next year we are going to have a very high yield sugarcane crop. So the rainfall has been very positive for us, and we are very happy because we have been helped by the heavens after a long period of droughts. Now we have extremely important rainfall during this period of the crop year. And now I would like to turn it over to Rodrigo, who will talk about the highlights for the quarter and also the first 6 months of the crop year. So thank you once again very much for your attention and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Otávio. Thank you very much, all of you, for attending our conference call today, where we will talk about the second quarter of the 2021-2022 crop year. This crop year, as Otávio mentioned, has been extremely successful with record-breaking results and good commodity prices for sugar and ethanol. We believe that in the upcoming years, we are still going to see some good results. That's what the global scenario allows us to believe. This is a very long presentation, but I'm going to give you a brief overview of some points. I'm going to give you the highlights first, and towards the end, I'm going to talk about the crop field and the rainfall for this year. Otávio has already talked about that for a few minutes, but I would like to dedicate more time to that topic towards the end of the presentation, of course, allowing time for taking your questions as well. So in the quarter, the results have been in line with our projections. In the second quarter of this crop year, we started to add to our stock for the off-season due to ethanol prices that are higher during the off-season. Ethanol prices have been increasing over the crop year. We have seen rises in ethanol prices together with rises in prices of sugar and oil. Cash earnings were much higher in comparison with the second quarter 2020 and the first 6 months as well, excluding all accounting variations. As we explained in our earnings release, we don't do hedge accounting, so we see higher volatilities in interest expenses since we advanced our sugar hedges. As we usually say in our conference calls, conventional sugar accounts for one-third, roughly 33% to 34% of the total TRS produced by the company. So since this is the only product that we can hedge for the future, we do that, especially in moments where prices are high in comparison with average historical levels. So we do more of that for a conventional sugar, but that accounts for less than 35% of the company's TRS. And the rest is ethanol and organic sugar. Our brownfield investments are on schedule. We are going to talk about that later as well. And our M&A negotiations are moving forward. We are also going to address that towards the end of the presentation. Now, moving on to slide five, I would like to highlight the fact that we had increases in comparison with the first 6 months of last year. We crushed 8% more year-on-year. Productivity was 99 last year, and this year it was 97. And our TRS was 1% higher than last year until September. The production mix is leaning more towards ethanol, as we said in our guidance. We finished the first half of the year with 53% ethanol in comparison with 47% of sugar. And now I'm going to move on to slide seven to talk about marketing. I would like to mention a very important point for this quarter. As I said, we started building our stock for the off-season since the gross prices for ethanol in São Paulo and Goiás are between 4.6, are around 4.6, so it started to increase over the crop year. So in the TRS line, you can see that we sold 19% less in the second quarter 2022 than the second quarter of the 2020-2021 crop year. In the first quarter, you probably remembered that we started selling more, but for this quarter, we started to decrease that because we want to sell more during the off-season. And another point that I would like to highlight on slide seven is organic sugar. Last year, we sold 26,000 tons, and this quarter we sold 13, 51% less. We are amid a crisis for containers. The prices have been increased and bookings are often canceled, so we are selling less of organic sugar in the first and the second quarters for this crop year. We believe that until March 2022, we are going to go from 20,000-25,000 tons. We're going to sell 20,000-25,000 tons more than last year. Our new crop year for organic sugar will only start in June 2022, so we will be able to organize our stock only after June 2022. So for guidance purposes about what we are going to stock for the off-season, we are going to have 20,000-25,000 tons more than last year. And on slide eight, I would like to make some very brief comments. In this quarter, we had an 80% increase in the ethanol prices and 83% increase year to date. We also saw an increase of 26% in sugar as well, but the sharpest increase was in ethanol prices in comparison with the previous year. Now, on slide 10, I would like to address our financial highlights. We saw an increase of 18%, even though we sold less since prices are higher, the revenue for this quarter was higher, 18% year on year, and year to date, the increase was 49% because in the first quarter we sold more. And still on slide 10, I would like to show you that our export revenues is lower, 12% in the quarter, because our exports, as you all know, is more concentrated on organic sugar, and we were able to sell less of organic sugar in this quarter and in the first 6 months as well. Now, COGS on slide 11, we had a 9% increase, and our revenues increased by 18%, so our revenues grew much more than our COGS. SG&A for this quarter was in line with the same period last year. And I would like to highlight the general and administrative expenses. We had an increase there because we are including here some tax expenses. They are contributions that we pay and are related to tax benefits that we have in the state of Goiás, and you can see in our earnings release more details about that impact. Those are variable expenses. Since we sold more ethanol at a higher price, we have a higher tax ICMS rate, and therefore we have to pay more contributions that are in force here in the state of Goiás on those tax benefits. They are the Protege and Fomentar programs. We also have the Bolsa Garantia program here. Now, EBIT. Our EBIT this quarter was very strong, with margins that are unprecedented for our company at 63%. That was our EBIT margin this quarter, and 57% year to date. This is an extremely strong EBIT margin. If we consider that prices went up over the year, we can see a trend, an upward trend for the last quarter. We believe that it can be even stronger since ethanol prices are higher than in the first quarter of the year. Now, on slide 12, I would like to address our production costs. Per ton of sugarcane, the production cost for the first 6 months of the crop year, considering agricultural and industrial costs. And here we are not including COGS, because COGS would include the previous year's stock. So here we only consider the production costs for this crop year, for the year-to-date results. So we have a 12% cost here, and the production cost per ton of sugar that we produced at the company went up by 11.8%, standing at 1,049 reais per ton of sugarcane. Of sugar, rather. And this is a very good price in comparison with other players. A very important point that I should highlight here is that we had some villains here. The first one was the agribusiness partnerships, and since we had higher prices, our partnership costs went up by 52%. And another villain was the industrial inputs that went up by 83% per ton of sugar. And for those who just joined us, we are on slide 12 right now, okay? So here we have some assumptions. We considered an average FX rate from April to September in 2021 and 2022, and we converted that into cents per pound. So in the first 6 months of the year, we had 9 cents per pound in comparison with 14.3. And why was it higher than the real cost? Well, as surprising as it may sound, the FX rate was higher last year. But since our costs are in Brazilian reals, and since the market always likes to see the amounts in cents per pound, I would like to show you those two measures. The 1,049 reais that I mentioned is lower than the 2,433 average price that we have in the market. So our price is very competitive. And here on the chart, you can see that the agricultural costs accounted for 76% of the production costs, and industrial costs accounted for 24% of production costs. On slide 13, we can see our very strong EBITDA margin of 77.8% in comparison with 68.4% year on year. And in the first 6 months, actually in the last 12 months, we had a margin, an EBITDA margin of 71.1%. Now, on slide 14, I'm going to show you some details of something that we explained in our earnings release, and that is our financial highlights, our financial result. We broke down our financial results in terms of interest income and interest expenses. Jalles Machado does not work with hedge accounting. So the future sugar that we have sold in financial instruments, and we only use financial hedging, we have to mark that sugar to market at the closing of each month. But the higher revenues that we are going to have because of that have not been recorded here yet. And you can see the mark-to-market operations in interest expenses. So for this quarter, we had 222.8 in hedging operations. And you can see that 62.2 have been recorded in the settlement effect on cash line. And because of that, we see a negative financial result, but this is only an accounting result because we're only going to see that revenue coming in the future. Now, on slide 15, you can see some more details about our net income and cash earnings. And here we are excluding the accounting issues related to the fair value of biological assets and IFRS 16. Those are actually the two main factors here. And you can see that we had a 99% cash profit rate. And now, moving on to the next slide, you can see some details about our CapEx on slide 17. You can see the recurring CapEx and also the crop treatment processes. It is important to mention here that part of the PPE investment in our brownfield operations, and I'm going to show you some pictures of the things that we are already doing. We also have debts on the next slide with a financial net debt of 98.2 million reais. And now I would like to go to slide 19, where you can see the changes in our net debt from March 2021 to September 2021. We started March 2021 with 197 million reais in debts. And although we paid dividends and we increased our off-season stock, increasing also our working capital and investing in brownfield operations because we are already investing in those operations. Even considering all of that, we were able to reduce our debts in 100 million reais, although we added to our inventory and also paid dividends and started brownfield investments. So this is a very good cash generation result. On slide 20, you can see a chart showing the maritime freight prices. You can see the changes from September, October. And we have already sold organic sugar 90%. We have already sold 90% of our sugar, which we are going to deliver by June next year. And now on slide 21, I would like to show you more details about our molecular sieve. Now, in our Jalles Machado unit, we can turn hydrous ethanol into anhydrous ethanol. We have more flexibility, and we increased our total ethanol capacity. And that is part of our growth from 3 to 3.3 million tons. And that investment was finished in October. And since October, anhydrous ethanol with a higher profitability than hydrous ethanol is already being produced at our unit. So instead of hydrous, we are producing anhydrous ethanol, and we are reprocessing hydrous ethanol so that we can increase the amount of anhydrous ethanol that we are producing here. So it was a good thing that we were able to finish this investment this crop year because we can increase the company's profitability by doing so. We also have the decanter here, which is already in place. We have also already started some investments in the Otávio Lage unit with the installation of a new evaporator. And on slide 23, you can see some details of our investments in the Otávio Lage unit, increasing our capacity to store sugar. And since we produce white sugar, we have to use different storage techniques than those that we use for VHP sugar. So we are increasing our capacity by 51,000 tons. We also have a new ethanol tank, increasing our capacity in 20,000 cubic meters. And the largest investment that we have made is the boiler at the Otávio Lage unit. Our capacity is of 3 million at the Jalles unit and 2.3 in the Otávio Lage. And now we are going to 3.3 at the Lages unit and 3 in the Otávio Lage unit. And at the Otávio Lage unit, the main investment that we made was on this boiler. We already started the contract in September. We have already started the operations so that it can start operations in a few months. Now, I would also like to talk about the next crop year. We were very fortunate in the first 3 months of the higher rainfall period. In October, we see the vegetation phase of sugarcane starting. So here at our region, it is very important to have higher rainfall in October so that we can start the vegetation period, taking advantage of the period in which we have more sunlight. The average historical levels was 104 millimeters, and this year it was 153 millimeters. And we had also 150 millimeters in the Otávio Lage unit against 103 millimeters in the historical levels. And the rainfall that we are going to have from now on is more than enough for sugarcane to start its vegetation period. But the first month where it starts to grow and we can see the growth cycle increasing is extremely important. This period is very important. We have more sunlight, and those months rather, are October and March. And October is even more important because that's where we have more sunlight, even more than April. So that is a very important moment for our next crop year. And with that, I would like to finish the presentation, and now we can start the Q&A session. So I'll turn it over back to our operator. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. To remove your question from the queue, please press star two. The first question comes from Guilherme Palhares with Bank of America.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for taking my question. If we look at the hedge volume for the company, we can see that we have been advancing in crop years for 2024 and 2025. I would like to know your rationale behind hedging those prices, since prices are going to improve from now on. If you could give us more color on your rationale behind that, that would be great. And also, I would like to understand your costs a little bit better. You broke down the costs, and that was good, but I would like to understand more details about the inputs line. We can see the prices of fertilizers and other products going up, even in dollars. So if you could explain your perspectives for the future, that would be great as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Now, addressing your question about hedge, as I said in the presentation, there is a very important point here that we should consider. We are only able to hedge our future revenue in conventional sugar, which accounts for one-third of the total TRS. So 67% of our products will not be hedged. We also, when we hedge our products, we consider the impact of price increases that has an impact on the sugarcane partnerships. So we have to consider the liabilities since we don't have suppliers. That's a very important point. 100% of our sugarcane is ours, so we only pay for sugarcane partnerships. So that's the first point. That's the only part that we hedge. And the second point is, 1 year ago, sugar was around 1,000 per ton, and it is now 2,500. It more than doubled in price in a very short period of time. And this is much higher than the historical level. So we started with hedging operations. And now what we have been doing is that we have been stocking our hedged sugar, and we have been keeping that stock. What we are now going to do is that after we have a first maturation date, our short position decreases, and we can already advance that. We can only hedge over 2 crop years, and we can only start doing that if our EBIT margin is above 20%, even considering inflation rates that are the double of the projections. So we can start at 20%. So when we have a 21% EBIT margin, for example, we can hedge 5% of the third crop year. And at 22%, we can go to 10%. And when we reach 40%, then we can hedge 100% of the third crop year, always considering that the inflation rate will be twice as much as the projections for that period. Otherwise, we can only do it for 2 crop years. But our perspective today, since we are at a good price level, and we have been at that level for a long period, our hedge position is stable, but as we reach a maturation date, we can do that for the future so that we can have the same volume And when the market becomes more stable or goes down, we are going to take advantage of our protection. And we can protect our future revenue. Another important point is that that applies to only one-third of the revenue. And the price levels right now are very positive, much more than the historical levels, which would be 1,600 reais. So we want to keep that for a longer period. And if the market comes back to the historical levels, we have a guarantee that we are going to enjoy those higher prices for a longer period of time. And there's another point here, the increase in input prices. In our previous conference call, I showed you in our presentation the impacts of the prices of the main sugarcane inputs. I showed you the impact of diesel and how much that impacted the cost of sugarcane and also crop protection products. But in general, that is all included in the cost slide that we showed you in the presentation. So all of that is included in those numbers. What we can tell you is that those prices increased sharply. For example, NPK increased and went to $300, and phosphorus is over 600. So our advisors think that the fertilizers prices will continue to increase until the first quarter 2022, at least. Prices will be higher. Prices denominated in dollars will be higher. And of course, the real is depreciated in comparison with the dollar. But what have we been doing to mitigate those effects? I think it's important to give you more color on that. Well, firstly, about 19,000 hectares are organic, so we don't have any of those impacts that I mentioned. Also, we started to work with local vinasse, which is a source of potassium and organic matter, and it increases yields in sugarcane fields. So we have been trying to apply that technology in most of our fields. And by doing that, we can take more advantage of vinasse. And we can cover a larger area. So by doing that, we are able to decrease the use of potassium, which increased in price. And the CapEx that we have invested in that replacement pays for itself in half a crop year. So we start doing that at the beginning of the crop year, and by the middle of the crop year, we are able to get the payback from that investment. So that is another action that we have been taking. And there is an additional point here. We are using our own waste. We are not using chemical fertilizers, so it's environmentally positive as well. Okay, that was very clear. Thank you very much. The next question comes from Mr. Barra with Citibank.
Good afternoon, Rodrigo. Thank you very much for taking my question. I believe that the first point I would like to address is your capital policy. Of course, you have an operational focus, but when we look at potential M&A negotiations, I believe that the entire market is expecting to see some movements in that area. I would like to know more about the negotiations and potential targets, the size of those targets, the timing of those operations, and also the characteristics of those acquisitions.
I believe that would be very helpful for all of us. And I have a second question. If we look at our region here in the southeast and the south of Brazil, we saw some very difficult moments throughout this crop year in terms of rainfall. And since you are not located in those regions, you were not so impacted by that. So I would like to know more details about your CapEx for next year. Do you believe you are going to invest CapEx in increasing yields? And also, if you could give us some more color about the problems that you mentioned in your presentation related to rainfall. You said that the rainfall in the beginning of this period was good, so I don't think that will be a problem for the company. And also, if you could give us more color on the brownfield investments, I would like to know more about costs. When we look at the increase in your yields, what can we expect in terms of COGS for the next crop years? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions, for your participation. You asked great questions. We talked very briefly about M&A negotiations, so this is a great opportunity for us to address more details about that. I think you all have questions about that because we made some plans and we announced those plans during the IPO. So, starting with the M&A question, I'm going to give you more details. You asked about targets and the size of targets, but I would like to think back about some things that we mentioned in the past. We know that M&A operations in the sugar and ethanol sector should be very carefully considered because we have to consider agricultural areas and the value of the business depend a lot on the agricultural areas. And 73% of our costs come from those areas. We thought that we would be able to finish an M&A operation by the end of the 2021 and 2022 crop year. We still believe that we can do that. We have been moving forward towards that. We have been trying to narrow down the potential list of targets. We are making progress, and we still believe in that timing. So we have a commitment at Jalles Machado. Our management and our board have a commitment to conclude an M&A negotiation to generate value for our shareholders. Of course, we know people are anxious. They all want to know when it is going to happen, but our commitment is about bringing a return that is compatible with what the company and the shareholders expect from Jalles Machado. So this is a non-negotiable for us. This operation has to make sense. And we believe that it is going to happen in this crop year. And as we said, things are moving forward. Now, about the characteristics of a potential target, I believe that we can't give you much detail about this, but I believe that the region would be São Paulo or Mato Grosso do Sul, with a crushing capacity of about 2 million tons. But that unit might already have a potential to grow much more than that, since we are now expanding
towards another region to mitigate market risks, for example, we want to reach a large scale in this new region as well. And now I'm going to go to the next question that you asked, but if you need more details, we can go back to the first one. Now, your second question was about CapEx. You asked whether or not we are going to do something different because the prices might change due to the crisis. In our previous conference call, actually in our material fact that we disclosed 517 million reais in brownfield investments, including a change in scope, and that is in line with the current market. We had a number in October last year, and that increased by 20%. The unit price increased, and we also had an increase in scope with the boiler, which would bring a very sharp decrease in costs for us. So that amount was updated 3 months ago, and since then, we didn't see any variations. For example, iron ore actually decreased in prices. You also asked about drought and reservoirs. Rainfall was lower last year, although rainfall was very well distributed over the year, but we had less rainfall, and our reservoirs here in our region had a lower volume than the regular levels, and that did not come in the way of our irrigation at all. But around our region here, there were crop failures. We were able to mitigate those failures about 6%-8%, and we were able to mitigate those failures because of the irrigation structure that we have here. But rainfall is very good right now. The rainfall period started very well, and we believe that we are going to have a good rainfall cycle in terms of distribution and volume as well.
Thank you very much, Rodrigo. That was very clear.
Thank you. And still about our CapEx, we can increase our irrigation CapEx. Out of the 517 million, 45 million can be used for irrigation. Our 1 million tons, additional million tons, 800 will come from area expansion, and 200 will come from yield expansion, and irrigation plays a very important role in the yield gains that we are going to have.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Brustolin with BTG Pactual.
Good afternoon, everybody. I have two questions. The first one is related to price dynamic for ethanol in the second half of the crop year. When we look at prices here in São Paulo, we can see that they are similar to the gas prices. So can you see any increase in demand because of that? And can that pull your prices down? And when it comes to the ethanol prices, do you think that we are going to see any variations, any changes in prices in terms of taxes? Well, about the ethanol market, since we had crop failures, the supply is restricted in the off season. So what happened over the past weeks, according to Unica, is that even though there is a higher parity, over 70% between ethanol and gasoline, ethanol consumption has been stronger.
has been stronger than our expectations. The market believed that it wouldn't be so strong. So we can see strong sales. Now, what is going on in relation to that? I believe that there are some important factors here that should be considered. I believe that for some vehicles, that parity rate is different. It's not 70%, it can be even 80%. Another point that is leading to that is that since gas prices went up, when people go to the gas station to fill up their tank and they see that gasoline is more expensive than ethanol, they will still go for ethanol, even though the ethanol price parity with gasoline is lower than 70%. And also, sustainability plays an important role here. Now, with COP26 and all, we can see more concern in the society, and sustainable products should be priced at a premium. For now, not many people would go for that option, would go for spending more, but we believe that that movement can gain momentum over time. So, for the off-season, we believe that prices would be above the parity level, and supply is low. And consumption has to decrease for us to have sufficient ethanol until the beginning of the next crop year. And considering all of those factors, when we look at the next crop year, we can also notice that we are going to see some impacts. In the regions where we had droughts, ratoons suffered a great deal, and that is going to cause an impact in the next crop year with a lower sugarcane volume than the 600 million that we had in 2020. The main consultancy firms believe that we are going to have 550, 560, 540, but I believe that there are many things that need to happen for us to have more clarity around that. Now, when it comes to import taxes, we believe that rates are going to be maintained. And I believe that there was some debate in the past around that, but I don't think that that is being considered anymore. I believe that those discussions slowed down. We have not heard any news about that lately. Okay, thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you very much. The next question comes from Mr. Alencar with XP Investimentos. Hello, good afternoon, Rodrigo and Otávio. I have a question about organic sugar. I would like to know about future options. We can see that sales have been slower. And I would like to know if there's any risk of your contracts being harmed because of the delays in shipments. Because I know that we are struggling with logistics, but other competitors are struggling as well. And also, I would like to know if the resilience of commodity prices have been interesting for you when it comes to organic sugar.
And although sales in the domestic market can be lower, do you think that we are going to see any increase soon? Or are you not focusing on that due to price reasons? Thank you, Leonardo. Thank you very much for your question. Okay, so let me address your first question about organic sugar. We don't think we are going to see any problems with our contracts. We're not going to see any breaches of our contracts because most of our contracts are delivered at the port here in Brazil, and logistics from that point onwards are under the obligation of our clients. So we are doing our part. However, freight prices went up sharply, and all of that changed our clients' plans, including pricing. And for example, bookings were canceled. So many things happened that were not under the control of our clients. But we are not going to see any problems with our contracts. Now, in our previous crop year, we had 74,000 tons in exports. That was our performance in the 2020-21 crop year. Now, for this crop year, 2021-22, we believed that we were going to produce a little bit more. We were going to make a little bit more than that. But when we saw how things were playing out, we reduced our expectations for this year. So we are going to have the same level of earnings for export organic sugar. So we are going to keep the same level that we had in the previous crop year. Last year, we produced 87,000 tons, and this year we are going to produce a little bit more than that. But that growth is in the domestic market only. The foreign market will be stable. And over 90% of that sugar has already been sold. We already have contracts for that. However, we can see some delays because of all of those issues, and we don't think we are going to export all of that until March. So instead of having 73,000 tons in export until March, we're going to perform 50,000, and another 22,000 to 23,000 tons will only be shipped in the next crop year. Now, about the resilience of commodity prices, that point is very important. I believe that since commodity prices are very high, and they have been high for a while, and when the distance was too large, the gap was too large between conventional sugar and organic sugar, we believe that one can have an impact on the other. The price of one of them can have an impact on the other. And that is just our expectation, but we can have some positive surprises for the organic market. And since we use containers for organic sugar, the higher freight costs were increased in the price of the product that was included in the price of the product. So we can see an increase, and part of that increase came from the fact that we had to pay higher freight costs. And in the domestic market, I believe that it has been very surprising. Last year, we had a very
low volume, but this market is growing here in the country. We have been working with our brand, and I believe that that movement has been bringing some good results. But of course, the base numbers from last year from the domestic market were much lower than the foreign market.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Ferreira with Condor Insider. With a great liquidity profile, and after the tax on dividends are approved, do you believe that you are going to see or adopt any additional or complementary dividend policy?
Thank you very much for the question. Yes, the company is considering that. We are going to consider that in our board. I believe that tax on dividends are not probable right now. I believe that proposal has been losing momentum in the National Congress, but we are considering that issue. Maybe focusing on interest on capital, but we are going to analyze all of those aspects here at the company. It is also important to mention that the company's dividend policy works like this. When we don't have any investments in our radar, which is not the case right now because we have the brownfield investments, but when I would just like to take advantage of this moment to clarify that when our debt over EBIT is lower than 2x and the company has no announced investments, and if we don't have any intention to perform acquisitions, then we can distribute 40% of our profit in dividends, not only 25%, but 40%. And you can see details of our dividend policy in our investor relations website. Thank you very much for that question.
The next question comes from Mr. Audi with Santander.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you, Rodrigo? I would like to know more about capital allocation. Your leverage level is very low, so you don't have any need to pay out debts. And you also mentioned brownfield investments. Is there any other product or segment that you can explore in case the M&A negotiations don't materialize for next year? Maybe biogas, biomethane. I believe it is clear that you are very much focused on M&A operations. And you also mentioned about dividends. So thinking about capital allocation, how do you prioritize things? Would that be CapEx, M&A, dividends, and leverage? And I have another question about your mix. You talked about the strong ethanol prices and your expectations for that to continue until next year. So what do you think the ethanol and sugar mix will be like? And my last question is about sugar prices again. What do you think about the global outlook in terms of sugar deficit? I know that you talk to consultants and you talk internally about that, so I would like to know your perspectives, especially about Thailand and India, in terms of the decrease in sugar production in those countries.
Thank you very much, Christian, for your participation, for your question. About capital allocation, well, as we said, we believe that
our M&A transaction will materialize, and we have already announced 517 million in investments announced for the next 2 years, starting in this off-season. We have already announced those investments, and we also believe that we are going to be able to close the M&A deal. Now, let's imagine that that deal falls through. What would you do with that capital? We do have other investment options. Biogas is one of them. We would also work with biomethane. We would be able to use biomethane as a replacement for other fuels in some clients that we have here in the region. So that would amount to almost 200 million reais, considering the plant size that we have here at Jalles Machado. And that is a ballpark number. That's the average number that we can see here in Brazil for the entire cycle, where you work with biomethane and you also use vinasse and filter cake. So we have that option, and we also have other options at the company. They are smaller, but if you put all that together, the investment volume is large. Since we are now focusing on the brownfield M&A negotiation, we are not focusing so much on those options. They will be in the future. They will materialize in the future because now we have some other things on our plate. And also, we don't want to have cash here in the company because that harms our ROIC. So that's why we have that policy. We can increase the distribution of dividends to at least 40%. We can even go beyond that if that's the case. The company and, of course, all shareholders want to maximize their returns. Now, about our mix for next year, that's a very good question. What we can see in terms of the sugar price is that oil plays a very important role. And since the global inventory is very tight, and consulting firms that we work with, and including one of our board members, Dr. Plinio, they all believe that the global crop year that started now and will end in September will present a slight deficit. It's not a large deficit because Thailand has been increasing exports after many failures. So we can see that increase in Thailand and India, also a slight increase in India. So we are still going to see some deficit, but inventory is very tight, and we are still going to have deficit next year. So if ethanol prices go up, the market will see that happening, and sugar prices will also increase because we don't have room to decrease the supply of sugar around the world. So sometimes ethanol prices go up, and it pulls sugar prices upwards as well. We can see that movement. We are always going to have a slight premium of about 5% in relation to the ethanol. Because with such short stocks, we can't reduce the supply of sugar in the world. So what is pulling prices up for sugar is the ethanol price. Because the rises in prices for oil as well. So that's our perspective. We are going to see some deficit in the global stage, and inventories will be very tight, as they are already. So we can see a scenario in which prices will continue to increase
for the next crop year. And here in Brazil, we are still going to see some difficulties because of the weather conditions last year. It is going to take at least 2 crop years to recover for us to be able to go back to the production levels that we had here in Brazil. Thank you for your question. Thank you very much. If you allow me to ask another question, I would like to talk about CapEx again. When we look at potential investments, for example, biogas, and also considering M&A possibilities, what would be the targets for the CapEx options, for example, biogas? I just wanted to have an idea of the return levels that you are targeting. Well, Christian, the return levels that we have depend on the predictability that we have. The lower the risk and the more predictable the investment is, the better. But we have been working with 15% to 20% in internal return rate, of course, depending on the investment that we are considering. So the range here would be 15% to 25%. And there are some quick wins, some smaller investments that can yield even more than that. But they are small investments. The larger ones range from 15% to 25%. But of course, it all depends on the level of risk. And considering all of the movements that you see in the market, do you think that we can reach that level of 20% to 25% in M&A transactions? Well, considering the negotiations that we have here at the company, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. But what I can tell you is that the numbers are compatible with market expectations, considering the risks. And really the expectations that we have from investments in our sector, considering also our valuation in the IPO. That was included in our prices, so certainly we have to provide more than that. And one last question. In the previous conference call, you said that you were focusing on 40 targets and you were able to narrow it down to 2 or 3 targets. Is that still the case? Are you still assessing 2 or 3 targets? Well, we are making progress, obviously. We have some options. And we have a main option, but we are also taking care of options B and C, of course. Of course, we learn a lot from those negotiations and the progress that we have made. But yes, we have a main option and we also have some secondary options. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Christian. And since we don't have time,
for more questions. I would like to thank you all very much for your participation, for your trust, and your engagement with Jalles Machado. We appreciate your feedback and the improvements that you have been suggesting. So I would like to keep this communication channel open with you. Please feel free to provide us with suggestions and things that we can do to improve. And I hope to see you all in our next conference call. And if you have any other questions that we were not able to answer, if you need any further clarification, we are here to answer those questions on email, or we can schedule individual calls with any of you. Thank you very much. I would also like to thank the entire Jalles Machado team, Fred, our financial guys, for organizing our conference call today. Thank you very much. Have a great day. That concludes Jalles Machado's conference call. Thank you all very much for your participation. Have a great day. Bye-bye.